Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the lockout is over, and now we're in the calm before the storm of roster moves. So we're going to talk about, you know, what led to the lockout ending, all the stuff related to that, and look forward to what's coming up in the next couple of days. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe in all those places so you never miss a day, because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Semperio, but today it's a split episode, so I will be with you for the first half. Vince will be with you for the second half. Vince and I, as you might know, are both lifelong Dodger fans just like you. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room, so we're not quite insiders, which is a good thing, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. So please subscribe wherever you're listening or watching, and let's talk about the Dodgers. And, you know, it's a great day for baseball. The lockout is over 99 days, and I'm proud to say we made it through the entire lockout on this podcast without resorting to locked out Dodgers jokes, more like locked out Dodgers. So I'm proud of us for that. And, you know, but beyond that, it's just it's a great day. Like, it, this feeling of gloom that, you know, you've been feeling it too. If you're a baseball fan, if you love baseball the way that we do, you've been feeling this like frustration and anger and almost like despair is not quite the right word. We understand baseball's not as important as other things in life, but it's our favorite hobby. You know, it's how we kill time. And as we get to middle of March, it's like, why isn't there baseball? And it's like, yeah. So whatever that feeling is, that's less than despair, that, you know, pretends that I have a little perspective in life, but that's what it was. And that feeling just lifted today, Thursday, when the lockout ended. Turns out it was the sixth deadline that did the trick. So, put that in your science notebook, maybe for your next science fair project or whatever. How many deadlines does it take to get a CBA done? Apparently the answer is six. No word yet on if they will be contacting Merriam-Webster and the Oxford English Dictionary to see about changing the definition of the word deadline, because it seems to not mean what Rob Manfred thinks, but that's all petty stuff. You know, we're going to focus on the positive, but there is some interesting stuff that happened leading up to this. You know, basically, we'll have more as we get all the details about the CBA. There's going to be a lot of stuff to talk about. We have the Universal DH coming up. The ghost runner on second rule in extra innings is gone. Doubleheaders will be full nine-inning games, and we'll have more doubleheaders because they have to make up some of these games that were canceled and then uncanceled and then recanceled and then unrecanceled or re-uncanceled. I don't know. So we're going to have doubleheaders, and they'll be full nine innings. A lot of stuff, little things are changing. We're not getting the pitch clock yet or the bigger bases or any of those, banning the shift, the stuff that we talked about, but they did lay the groundwork for doing that later. So there's going to be a lot to talk about this CBA. But I want to talk a little bit about just what kind of the behind-the-scenes machinations that went into getting this done. Basically, as we mentioned on yesterday's episode, the players had made a proposal to the league that was basically the league's idea. It was Rob Manfred's idea, but the league rejected it because it was after, was that the fourth or fifth deadline? I don't remember. One of the deadlines. And so they rejected it. But then they got together Thursday morning and they said, oh yeah, this was our idea. So I guess we're okay with that. And we got word early Thursday that they had come to an agreement on basically kicking the can down the road on deciding on the international draft. They gave themselves till late July to come to agreement on the international draft. If they implement the international draft, then draft pick compensation for qualifying offers goes away. If they don't, then draft pick compensation for qualifying offers stays. So those two are tied together. But it was a good compromise to kick that down the road, say, let's not let this issue derail the entire CBA negotiations. And we thought, okay, there's progress. They're getting there. You know, the numbers weren't that far apart. We got word that they're getting closer to compromise. And then Major League Baseball said, oh yeah, by the way, we want you to drop the two lawsuits you have pending against us. It's like, holy crap. Like, it really seemed like maybe they are intent on sabotaging this. Maybe the league is more interested in making the players look bad, making the players reject an offer than in actually getting an offer, a deal done. Luckily, I think what they ended up compromising on was that the players dropped one of the lawsuits and didn't drop the other one. So anyway, they finally agreed. And then it went to the players to vote. And then we got word that the players' executive committee didn't like the deal and they were voting against it. And, you know, a little bit of the, I don't want to bore you if you know the details, but I'll give a quick 30-second primer, which is how primer is supposed to be pronounced, something I learned a while back. Basically, there's the 8-person executive board or executive subcommittee, I think is what the union calls it. And then each of the 30 teams has a player rep that's elected by their team. All 38 of these roles are elected positions. So you have 38 people, and those are the 38 people who get to vote. The 8 members of the executive subcommittee each get to vote their own conscience. The player reps, the 30 player reps, have to take they have to vote what their team wants. So they have to talk to the other 39 guys on their 40-man roster, you know, the other union members on their team, and say, okay, here's a deal, yes or no. And if at least 21 of them say yes, then that team says yes. And then there's 38 votes, and all they need is 20. Basically, they just need a simple majority to ratify it, to vote in favor of it. So the vote ended up being 26-12, with all 8 members of the executive subcommittee voting against it, but then the teams being 26-4 in favor of it. That, to me, says there's a disconnect. And when you look at the members of the executive subcommittee, it's not really surprising why. The members of the executive subcommittee are Andrew Miller, Max Scherzer, Francisco Lindor, Marcus Semien, Zach Britton, James Paxton, Jason Castro, and Garrett Cole. What do those guys all have in common? They're all veterans. They've all made good money. Jason Castro probably hasn't made very good money. Maybe James Paxton because of his injuries, but mostly they've been all-stars. They're some of the premier players in the league. Also, 5 of the 8 of them are represented by Scott Boras, which isn't in and of itself a bad thing, but it tells you, you know, we've talked in the past about the kind of players, and I don't mean this as a pejorative. I'm not, I don't mean those people, but the kind of player who hires Scott Boras as his agent has different priorities than some other players. And so I think the fact that 5 of the 8 of them have the same agent kind of speaks to a lack of diversity of thought on the board. If we want to get to other types of diversity, all 8 of these guys were drafted. None of them were international free agents when they signed. So maybe there's a little bit difference of perspective there, possibly. A lot of things, but ultimately, I think what it came down to is these 8 players on the subcommittee were in the negotiations, and these have been contentious negotiations. They've been hard fought. I imagine there were some unkind things said back and forth, even if they weren't personal insults. There's been a lot of hard feelings, and so you have these 8 players who've been in there and getting mad, getting angry, getting frustrated during the negotiations. And then you have the other 1,192 members of the union saying, this looks like a good deal. And they didn't have their emotions clouded. And I'm going to come back in a minute and talk about whether that clouded emotion is an issue or not. So I'll be right back. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And be sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Let's talk real quick about Built Bar. Built Bar, as you know, best tasting protein bar in the world. They make themselves a delicious candy bar, and then they say, okay, now how can we make this healthy? And magically they do it. So every Built Bar you get is high protein, high fiber, low calorie, low sugar, low carb, all the good stuff, none of the bad stuff, and all delicious, all covered in chocolate. They've also got the Built Puffs that are like chocolate covered marshmallows that are also all super healthy for you. It's just ridiculous. It should be illegal to be as good at what they are as Built Bar is. But you know, there they are, and they haven't gotten arrested yet. So take advantage of that fact by going to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, I want to thank you once again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. I also want to tell you about Locked On MLB Prospects, where host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. All right, so again, we're talking about this player executive subcommittee, and with the context that today is a good day. Baseball is back. It's a very good day. And we haven't yet hit that storm of transactions. As of, it's 10:37 p.m. Pacific time on Thursday night right now. And so far, we haven't had transactions happening. I thought that we would have trades happening pretty quickly after the agreement happened, just because the front offices have been able to talk to each other. But I guess maybe they, you know, since they weren't sure what the financial parameters were going to be, maybe they couldn't get too deep on trades. But the storm is coming because spring training is about to start. And, you know, for example, the Dodgers don't have a roster yet. They are not ready to play yet. They don't have the team they're going to have. So there's going to be trades. There's going to be free agents. There's going to be stuff happening. This is our calm before the storm. I will tell you right now, there's a good chance you're going to see us over the weekend. Depending on what happens, we may do a weekend episode. We don't do those a lot. We're here every weekday morning, but we might do the weekend this weekend too. So overall, this is a good day. Another good thing is that Joe and Oral get to go on the road. Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser, they've been calling games, road games from Dodger Stadium in their booth on watching on a monitor for the last 2 years. And they get to go back out on the road, which is great, great news for them. Great news for us. I mean, I guess maybe bittersweet for their families because, they're going to be on the road more. But, I've been super impressed with how good Joe and Oral have been at calling a game from a monitor. It is not an easy thing to do, and they have been really, really good at it. But I am so excited to have them back in the stadium for road games, calling those games. So that's great news. Getting back to this player subcommittee and the lack of diversity, it's, you know, and I know diversity is a buzzword, and I'm not talking just racial diversity, although, you know, maybe there's some of that. I guess it's fairly similar to the league, you know, but definitely not quite the Latin American perspective you would expect, especially, like I said, because there are no international free agents. It's, you know, Francisco Lindor is from Puerto Rico, so he was subject to the draft, hasn't been through the same things that Dominican players, Venezuelan players have. But just, you know, my bigger concern is, I wonder, since these are elected positions, if the players themselves are going to look and say, you know what, maybe it doesn't have to be the biggest names in the sport. You know, Max Scherzer, yeah, he's a bulldog. He fought for them, but in the end, he voted against this deal. And the things that happened in this deal, there's a lot of really good things for younger players. There's a bonus, a pre-arb bonus pool. It's not as big as what the players wanted. The players were asking for $125 million, I think, at one point. And the owners started at $5 or $10 million. They ended up at $50 million, which, yeah, that feels like it's closer to the owner's number. But this bonus pool has never existed before, and now it does. Now, players before arbitration have a chance to make some real money, especially if you win the MVP award in your first 3 seasons, you get almost $3 million as a bonus. That's huge for guys who will be making, you know, between $700,000 and $800,000 at that point. A $2.7 million bonus is a big deal. This bonus pool now exists and it never has before. That's a win. There, you know, wins on the minimum salary went from $570,000 up to $700,000 with escalators each year. That's a big win, even if it's not what they wanted overall. And maybe this executive subcommittee, maybe they're just digging their heels in because they wanted every win they could get after, like we've talked about, having, you know, basically losing the last two CBA negotiations. Maybe they wanted to make up for that all in one fell swoop. But I also feel like there was some element of these guys don't remember or don't care what it's like to be a young guy. And even, you know, I've talked about Peyton Henry with the Marlins just because I know Peyton, but there's a lot of guys in Peyton's situation, and Max Scherzer never was. Max Scherzer was a first-round draft pick out of college. Max Scherzer got a big bonus. Max Scherzer has never been poor since the day he got drafted. And now he's got more money than his great-great-great-grandkids will ever spend. So, you know, he can't understand the plight of some of the members of the union. And even Jason Castro, probably the smallest name on this list, he was a first-round draft pick. All these guys, Garrett Cole was, I think, the first overall pick. You know, all these guys are big, big names who've made a ton of money and don't really know what it's like to be poor. And, or even baseball poor, even just poor by baseball player terms. And so I wonder if the players in their next elections will say, you know what, let's get some, you know, Vlad Guerrero Jr. No, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is not a good example, even though he's Dominican, because his dad is rich. So, you know, but some of the, you know, some player who wasn't a top prospect, came up from, you know, from the Dominican Republic or from Venezuela, you know, somebody who had to battle for it. Jose Ramirez is a good example. Jose Ramirez wasn't really a top prospect. He had to battle everywhere. And yeah, he's made it now, but I'd love to see a guy like Jose Ramirez on this committee. Guys like that, even smaller names than that, just to get some of that diversity of thought, diversity of experiences. Because right now it seems like this committee is fairly one-dimensional on their baseball and financial experiences. And that showed. And it showed that they do not have the ear of the players' union, because the union voted against them and resoundingly to go 0 for 8 on the subcommittee and then 26 for 30 among the teams. It's, I mean, that's like Jock Peterson against lefties and Jock Peterson against righties. That's, you know, that was rude. I'm sorry, Jock. Please come back. Anyway, those are my thoughts on this. You know, Vince, he's going to talk about some of the other, you know, ramifications. Is that the word I'm looking for? You know, the stuff that's going to come from this agreement. And again, I want to emphasize, this is a good day. Baseball is back. Spring training starts this weekend. You know, we're going to have trades. We're going to have free agency. So much stuff going on, and we can't wait to talk about it. Vince and I are proud that we got through this lockout, bringing you episodes every single weekday. You know, in 2 weeks from today, it will be 2 or 3 years since we started doing this show every weekday, and we've never missed a day, and we're not going to, because we love talking Dodgers with you. We appreciate you guys being here. We really appreciate you making us your first listen every day. It means the world to us. So thanks for listening, and Vince will be along in a minute.
It's that time of year again, as college basketball's tournament is finally upon us. For all the latest odds, contests, and players' props, BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline. Where the game starts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans, Vince Samperio of Chavez Reading Fiends here to close out the episode. As you can see, and you might be able to hear during this episode, I have a house guest with me, a dog. So he's not used to the place yet. So I'm going to try to edit out if he does anything crazy. But if not, just bear with me for this recording. But baseball's back. Baseball is back. I'm excited. I hope you're excited. We should be watching the Dodgers here in the next few days. We're going to be watching the Dodgers on April 8th in Colorado, opening up the season. And it feels good. It feels good. 162 games. The players won, you know, from their end. They got a lot of raises and things of that nature. They got really close. They got a lot closer and a lot better deal than I thought they were. Obviously, the subcommittee, like Jeff said, didn't vote for it, but all the teams did and the majority of the players. And, you know, that's what happens when you come down to a vote, and that's what happens. That happened. So Jeff talked about most of the stuff, but there's a couple other things. Obviously, Universal DH is happening. We've talked about that extensively. We don't know how the Dodgers exactly are going to handle it, but we'll see here with the signings they make in the next few days. The amateur draft stays at 20 rounds. The one that we did talk about before that was ended up being approved is the number of times a player can be optioned. It's 5 times. So Mitch White, there's no more going to be Mitch White going up and down like, what, 11, 14 times, whatever he did last year. You can only go up 5 times. And we talked about that, how it could affect the Dodgers, how it could affect their strategy, and, you know, how it might just – in the end, it might work out just in terms of, like, letting a guy stay on the roster a little bit longer and letting them, you know, work through some things. Last year, obviously, the Dodgers – had a bunch of bullpen games, and that's why, you know, him and Edwin Uceda and a couple other pitchers had been up and down a lot. But I would hope that that's not going to be the case this year. And, you know, realistically, probably Ryan Pepiot, Andre Jackson will still have their options used, but not too extensively, or obviously not more than 5 times, because that's no longer allowed. So in terms of that, that's, you know, that's the best news out there in terms of easiest rules to understand. There's a lot to unpack in this deal. There's a lot to really go through, and you know, Jeff covered a bunch of it, but there's still even more to go through. The one thing I did see floating around is that in the future there are going to be less division games, and they're going to maybe go to the route where you play every team every single year. Now, I don't know exactly how that's going to work out logistically in terms of, you know, how many division games are they going to get rid of. Obviously, if you're getting rid of, or you're going to have to add 10 series, you're going to have to get rid of a few division games, maybe down to 15. You might get more of those two game series. You're probably not going to, you know, you're not going to have a home and away against every team, but you will have, you know, you will play every team eventually. That's going to be fun for the future. That's going to be, you know, now that the Universal DH is around and everything else, it makes it easier, and it makes sense. You know, there's a lot of talent right now. Why, you know, you shouldn't have to wait 3 years if like, it's just that you don't travel. You shouldn't have to wait 3 years for you to see, you know, one of your favorite players. If you are a fan, like Vlad Guerrero Jr., you know, you have to wait 3 years to see him and hope that the Dodgers play them at home. Now, realistically, you're probably going to see him. You're going to have a chance to see him every other year at the very least, because even if they don't play at home this year, they'll play them at home next year. So that's, you know, fun. The luxury tax threshold went up, not quite as much as the players wanted it, but went up enough. They added that fourth tier, and the Dodgers aren't that close to it, but you know, they're close enough to where it could maybe make them weary this year, but I doubt it. We got 12-team playoffs. I think Jeff mentioned that, but 12-team playoffs is a big win. You know, we talked about 14-team playoffs and how we weren't that big a fan of it, just because it kind of lessened the regular season. You know, there's no advantage significant enough to give somebody that was the best team over a 162-game period for you to justify letting, you know, 6 other teams in the playoffs. And even if you get a bye, I don't think that's a significant enough advantage, because, you know, a bye means days off, and that doesn't necessarily always mean the best case for some teams. So 12 teams, big win. One part of that is that no more game 163s. If there's a tie at the end of the regular season, it'll go to formulas similar to NFL. That's what I read. I would imagine that goes head-to-head straight first. And then after that, if it's tied head-to-head, which if it's in for a division, there's no way to be tied head-to-head, at least this season, because there's an odd number of games. So that would probably solve it right there. But no, game 163, that's kind of – it's not Bellinger. The dog name is Bellinger, so that's cool. No game 163s. The Dodgers had that fun game 163 against the Rockies. I don't know how it would have shook out that year. I think they beat the Rockies more than that year, so they probably would have won the division anyways. But, you know, game 163 is fun, and you kind of root for them toward the end of the year, at least not against the Dodgers, or we were rooting for it last year with the Dodgers, but normally not. But, hey, you know what? Sometimes you got to add an extra playoff team and trying to get the window, you know, make sure it stays in October for the playoffs. There's just not time to run a game 163, so that's one of the casualties. The other thing in, you know, so the playoffs. We'll go through the playoffs real quick. So it's 12 teams. So the two best records in each league get a bye. The next division winner plays the wild card with the best record in a best of three. All three games are at the top seed, the division winner. And then it goes on from there. So basically, last year would have been the Giants would have had a bye. The whoever won the Central, the Brewers. The Brewers would have played the Dodgers, either way. I'm trying to read this and it's confusing the way they worded it. Wild card round. First place team is going to buy. Division winner plays wild card with the best winner. Best of three. Higher seed gets all the home games. And that's how it goes. So it'll work. 12 games is fun. 12 teams is fun. It's not too bad. And that's how it goes. The other thing in terms of differences is baseball lottery. They are not going to just give you the worst record. Does not guarantee to get the top pick. It'll go on a formula and they will go into 18 lottery. So theoretically the team with the eighth worst record could get the first pick. It's to encourage or to stop tanking. I don't know how encouraging that'll be. We see it in the NFL. There's a lottery and teams still tank. So obviously NFL too, actually. But in the NBA, it's a little different because one player can realistically change your franchise the next year. So tanking's a little more strategic, I guess. Whereas in baseball, you have to tank multiple years, kind of like the Astros did, in order for it to really benefit you. So it's cool, I guess. Teams won't just guarantee to be the worst play or worst team, but I don't know if it's going to really up that competitiveness too much, but that's how it goes. We got service time. Service time is added, so it's no service time manipulation. The example given is like the Cubs kept Chris Bryant in the minors for the first 12 days of the season in 2015 so they could delay his eligibility. Obviously worked out for the Cubs. They got to keep him an extra season. But now it doesn't happen like that under the new service time reward system. Any player who finishes first or second in rookie of the year voting will get a full year of service time, even if he doesn't start that season in the major league. So if you do bring up a guy and he's really good and ends up, you know, being top two in rookie of the year voting, then you don't really get to go. So if you have a guy who you think is going to be rookie of the year worthy, you might as well just bring him up. But that's how it goes. Jeff talked about the bonus pool. And I think that's it of like the main things that changed in the CBA. Obviously, we probably missed a couple things or some things will come up here in the next few days. But now we just await free agency. Nobody signed it last night. Nobody signed on March 10th after the thing. I don't know if teams are scared to be that first team to sign because they don't want to, you know, be considered tampering or whatever the case is. I don't know, but I would imagine on Friday there's going to be a bunch of signings. Hopefully one of those signings is Freddie Freeman signing with the Dodgers. If that happens, we're all even more excited now that baseball's back. So that's what we got for you. Baseball's back. I'm excited. I'm so ready for Dodger baseball to be back. That's mainly because the Lakers are really bad and there's really not much else to do these days because Laker games are a drag to watch. So for me, I feel like Jeff now where I'm excited for baseball 100%. I'm all in. So we're going to be here, obviously, now for sure, every weekday morning. We already were, but definitely now. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. We'll be back on Monday, hopefully talking about a Freddie Freeman signing. Definitely talking about players reporting to camp and seeing who looks good and who's ready to go and what people have to say. Dave Roberts is talking on Friday afternoon, so I'm sure he'll have some stuff to say. Maybe they can surprise us with Freddie Freeman also being there at the same time. Who knows? I don't know. But that's what we got on tap for Monday. For your second listen of the day, make sure to check out Locked On MLB with Paul Francis Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully. He brings you a unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. If you want to find us on social media, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. If you want to find us podcast or YouTube, you can also search Locked On Dodgers. To find Jeff on Twitter, he's at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. Other ways to get a hold of us, if you're not DMing one of those accounts on social media, you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can send us a voicemail or leave us a text, or the other way around, leave a voicemail, send us a text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device play podcast, Locked On Dodgers, and remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.